This episode of Trent Triple Live is sponsored by Pod Decks. Pod Decks are a deck of cards that have great questions, great topics, and even fun games to make your podcast more professional and just all around fun. And for right now, you can pick up the interview and episode bundle for $24.99. Now, when you get to checkout, be sure to use the promo code TCLIVE to get 10% off your first purchase. Again, use promo code TCLIVE, that's TC Live, at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. I want to thank Poddex for sponsoring this episode, and they're all around great tool to use. I use it in my show all the time because the questions go deep and they're just so interesting to ask your guest. Again, TCLIVE at checkout on poddex.com to get 10% off your first purchase. All right, back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with a brand new episode. This is the second episode in 1 week. Man, these people, man, I gotta get them, their voices heard and their names out there. I gotta help these people. Today's episode, good friend of mine. We met back when he ran for mayor. I started following him around and seeing what he had. He has very good potential. I was talking to him a little bit before the show started. We have Mr. Kelly Burke. He's running for AISD Board of Trustees, Place 5. How are you doing today, Kelly?
I'm doing great, brother. Doing great. How you doing?
I am just, you know, honestly, to be honest with you, I'm exhausted.
Well, me and you both. Dude, yes, me.
But that's interesting because I follow you on Facebook and everything, and I see that you own your own gym. You're very into fitness, and good for you, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, since you're running for a place on the AISD Board of Trustees, is it hard running your own gym and running for a seat?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard running for the seat if you weren't doing anything else, period. But if you were working a regular job and running, it's going to be hard, you know. But, you know, definitely, especially because, I'm still working out too. So, you know, I mean, that's important to me. And I don't want to lose that because that's my thing. You know what I mean? Like me being able to get in the gym and get a workout in is my thing. And so now I'm working out at 5 a.m. which I've never done before in my life.
5 a.m.
Wanted to be. Yeah, exactly. So that means I get up at 4. I'm getting out of bed at 4:15 in the gym, you know what I mean, by 4:45, and I'm under some weights at 5 a.m. So I'm doing it on an empty stomach. I've never done that before either. So it's kind of these things that, you know, you think about when you're younger, and you hear stories of older guys getting up early and, you know, tackling their day and doing their 5 a.m. crew, and it's like, yeah, one day I'll do it. And then you try it, and you're like, okay, this sucks. And then, you know what I mean, now it's like I really have to do that. And then we own a daycare too, so my wife and I. So I'm at the gym at 5. I'm out of here, you know, by 7. I'm at the daycare by 7:30. I'm dropping kids off. We bus kids to school, and so then I'm going home, changing, getting dressed, and then, you know, coming back, and I'm bouncing between both businesses all day and campaigning. Yes. You know, and so it's definitely.
I also see here you're also a minister.
Yes, sir.
How long you been doing that?
I accepted my call into the ministry in 2005, and then, you know, just went around preaching, evangelizing, being invited to different churches. And then a few years ago, I actually started my own ministry. I've actually started it twice. Ministry is very hard, especially when you go into pastoralship, because, you know, it takes all of you. And I think that some people, especially young ministers, they don't realize how much it takes of you to do that. And so, you know, the second time we started, we actually started in the gym. So we brought up, I brought a lot of the gym people out, and, you know, things were going well. And then I felt like I was outgrowing that space. So I knocked the wall out, made it a little bit bigger, and was like, oh, we need more space. So I moved to the daycare, and then it kind of hurt the crowd. Mm-hmm. And so right before that was COVID was approaching, and I was like, okay, I'll probably shut down and then revamp, you know, in the next few months. And then COVID came and it was no church. So yeah. I didn't start back from that point.
It's interesting because my church I go to, they started at people's houses. Mm-hmm. Then they got tent, like a giant like tent thing.
Yeah.
They would do it there outside. Then they got like a community room or a conference room that had a disco ball.
No way.
Yeah, a disco ball in there, and they would do services
That's
there.
pretty cool.
And then they did a shopping center, and they've been there ever since. And it's a good space, honestly. And it's funny seeing people's church growth, and it's awesome. Professional
Definitely.
bodybuilder, retired bodybuilder.
Oh yeah, you speak some of
Look at those
my
trophies,
skills.
man. Flaunting them in front of my face, man.
There
Gosh.
they are.
Yo,
Yeah, I retired.
hit me with it. Hit me
Yeah,
with it. Let's see it.
I know, right? I'm saying that. I think I got myself over here. Oh, let me see. I grabbed it. This was the start. So that's 2013.
Oh my
I
gosh.
never show this kind of stuff, right? Politics. But hey, I'm just, that
Hey.
was 2013. And then this was me in 2016. That's my pro debut. Yeah, man, I did that, and that was my childhood dreams. Arnold Schwarzenegger fan, Ronnie Coleman fan. I grew up wanting to be a bodybuilder, and so I believe that God allowed me to play in that field for a while. And in 2017, well, 2016, when I turned pro, I traveled on the pro circuit in 2017, and I realized that, oh man, do I really want to do this for the next 10 years of my
Wow.
life? With having a family and kids and a wife and a business, and it's so much. When you're a bodybuilder, that takes everything of you. Gonna take your time, your energy, your money, and then you're always eating clean, always eating right. My kid's birthday, I can't eat birthday cake because I'm always getting ready for a competition around my son's
I couldn't
birthday.
do it.
It was just such a big deal, and it was like I had to make a decision after traveling and losing on the pro circuit, because when you turn pro, you start all the way over again unless you're just this phenom. And I wasn't the guy that was just a phenom, but I was a guy that had a really good potential, and
Yeah.
so I had to start all the way over. So I'm getting my butt kicked on that pro stage, and was like, well. Yeah, man, but in the next 5 years, you're going to move to the top. 5 years? And I'm trying to do this in 5 days. Not really, but you get what I'm saying. I don't have that.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of time to focus 5 years, and I have a business. So I just knew after my last show, I came home from that show. And it's funny because at that show, I went there and then something happened with my car. Well, they tried to charge my car for the wrong amount. I got back from eating. And they had my stuff at the front of the hotel. And we walk in with all these competitors. Now, it's some big name competitors at the show. My luggage is sitting at the front of the hotel. And they say, oh, yeah, Mr. Burton, you're kicked out of your room. Your card declined. I'm like, in front of everybody. They're like, all right, see you later. I'm like, oh, my God. Well, we got the card situation fixed. They charged me the wrong amount. I had to give me the wrong amount. Whatever. So
Wow.
I get home and I was sitting on the couch with my wife and I said, I think I'm done. And she said, no, you're not. You love bodybuilding. You're not done. I said, I think I'm done. And I was done. But that moment when I was talking to her and sitting on the couch, I knew where I was going next. And that was to focus on ministry and eventually politics, because I knew that I was going to run. And so, I knew I had to start focusing my attention. So to get it off of me, because bodybuilding is about you, to put my attention on more service and serving people and serving the public. So,
So you went from
yeah.
bodybuilder to minister, and now we're into politics now. What
Yeah, but I feel like those two go hand in hand.
okay, so what influences you to run for offices, to run for office? Who inspires you to do that?
Yeah, I didn't. I never had like a favorite politician or anything like that, because they're all politics. I believe the politicians were all full of crap growing up. I mean, just to be quite frank, I believe.
I get
Yeah,
you.
you know how people view politicians, and so
Yeah.
that's how I viewed it. So I never per se wanted to be a politician. I just knew that I was called to lead, and I knew that I was called to fight against things that weren't right. And so, of course, that's what ministry is about. You're fighting for God in an arena. And so I didn't fully foresee that it was going to be politics, but it just made sense once I started looking at where he took me from into and the things that I was passionate about. And so I started getting passionate about what was happening in the country. And then it led to, you know what? One day I'm going to run because I want to change this. I don't want to be the guy that's sitting back on Facebook and I'm arguing with people. And
Yes,
you get
I
into that. And
see
that's what
it.
happened.
I
And I
used to
was.
be, I was like that for a while. Once I turned 18 and was able to vote now and everything, I was like, okay, I think now it's time I gotta focus on this kind of stuff. And I was so upset with how things were being run, like from city to state to country. I was sitting there just like, what? And my biggest thing
What's
is
going on?
I talked about this with you before we started the show, is like there's not a candidate out there that represents me. They're all born rich or super rich. And I was like, I want a candidate that's like me, that's worked their ass off, that and built what they have. So for you, what I like about you is that you're not this conglomerate business owner that's huge, and just Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, even though we would like to be.
Exactly.
You're just,
we definitely like.
Yeah. You do what you like to do, which is working out. You're a minister. You help your wife with the daycare. That's awesome. So, with that being said, you kind of agree. You kind of see what I'm saying here. It's awesome that somebody who's like me, you're a perfect representation of regular people.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Funny you say that, because you would think that that's what the voter would want.
Yeah.
You know, because that's how I viewed it. I felt like when you look at the founders, of course, these guys were successful, but they were still normal guys that were in their normal lives. So when we look at it in hindsight, we're like, well, they weren't successful, but they were just normal people, you know, that just got in, that needed to stand up to the Brits and take our country and break off. And so they founded what we know as the Americas, and they fought a big war behind, you know. And so it was like, when you look at it, you're like, well, originally these were just normal people, like, you know, like in Black America, who was Frederick Douglass? You know, he's just a normal guy. That
normal
said,
guy.
This is enough. Yeah, you know, and I'm like, that's what I believe a politician should be. And we turn politics into the most successful people, the most decorated people, the most connected
people. It's a popularity
people.
Contest.
There you go. And so,
like, if you look back American history, it's just these normal guys. Founding fathers, like, one was like a shoemaker, one was a carpenter, and they're like, let's start our country, you know?
Yeah, let's, we're not going to buy out of these guys. We don't want to pay them as tax anymore.
Let's go do our own thing.
Exactly. And you would think in this arena that people want that, but then when I start approaching voters and hearing the comments back and what they would say, what gives you the credentials to run for this? I'm like, have you read the credentials for somebody to run for public office? There's no credentials.
There's no credentials. You can run for mayor at 18 years old. And in fact, funny thing was, before the last mayoral election, I was considering throwing my hat in to run.
I told
Jim Ross, that our current mayor, I was thinking about running. I was like, why not? It'd be fun.
Yeah, definitely. What's the guy that ran against us? Arcilio.
Ooh.
He was a young guy.
Yes.
He was on the 21, I think.
Yeah.
He didn't campaign because he realized, like, maybe I won't wear my head. But it was just the fact that he threw his name in the hat. He'd be like,
yeah,
I run. You know, and I think they said it was kind of like a joke to his friends, because they were like, he's like, I ought to run for mayor. They was like, do it. And he actually did it. And I'm like, well, that's pretty cool, because when I was that age, I didn't even think about doing it. So to see, you know, how we've progressed as a nation, for somebody to, you know. But, you know, Tom Vandegrift was, what was he, 21 when he ran for mayor? And won. He was pretty young. He wasn't over 25. I know that for sure.
Yeah.
You know, but
in fact,
now.
The youngest person to run in Texas was in Grand Prairie, and he ran for city council. We have never had in Texas.
Oh, Junior?
I think so.
The recent one?
Yeah.
Yeah, Junior's 21.
Yeah, he was 21.
He was.
But we've never had a mayor who's under the age of, like, 30. Or something like 20, almost in that 20 area. And it's so fascinating. So I want to ask you this question, because we're talking about youth and young people. How are you going out and getting the young votes? You know, you're running for a thing for schools. So you have to influence younger people, like, hey, you just got out of high school. You just got out of college or something. How should we change this? Like, how are you doing that?
Yeah, it's just basically just beating the streets up in the community. I think the hardest thing that I'm facing with younger people is a lot of younger people now don't see things the way I see them, you know? And so we're because of a lot of the media and, you know, just where we are, in colleges, what happens on college campuses. And so, you know, I'm pushing entrepreneurship, I'm pushing family, I'm a Christian, and some of these things are not as, you know, acceptable anymore for college students. So I am honestly struggling in that area with the younger students and voters. So I hope that, you know, you guys, some people that, you know, think like us, or even, you know, believe in change, because I think that's the main thing. If they believe that in order for anything to get better, because at the end of the day, two sides both feel like things need to be better. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, if you want something to be better, then we have to have leadership that comes in with a vision, with a plan, and that can see life through both sides. Because I came from the streets. I came from the streets of Fort Worth, Texas, originally, before I moved to Arlington. And so I understand the struggle. And so it's backs up to what you were just saying, is that I'm just a normal guy. I'm a normal guy that came from something to change his life into where it is today. And I can see that if a kid does the same thing by just putting his mind on his mind to, I want to be something in life, then he has the opportunity to do that. So, you know, that's really my message when I talk to young people. It's like, look, you could be anything in this world. Nobody's stopping you. Nobody's holding you back. Nobody's standing over your shoulders. There's nobody whipping you behind. You know, it's only you. It's you versus you. And if you can beat you and, you know, get away from that old you that's holding you back, and the new you is, he's waiting for you. I always just tell my wife, I'm like, you know what? When I, for so many years, I would look in the mirror, and the man that I saw wasn't the man that I knew I was supposed to be, because I was holding myself back, and I had to literally slap that guy in the face and say, look, the guy that's in there, he's ready to come out. So if by developing that guy, you know, I'm the guy that I am today. And so that's just the message for the young people. So I am struggling in that part of it, though, because it's just about finding, you know, those that, you know, want that change.
And they're out there.
Definitely.
I talked to a priest the other day, and I was asking him, like, hey, with younger people, do they like more traditional ways of, I'm an Anglican, so Anglicanism, do they like the more traditional way, or do they like the more modern way? And he tells me, you'd be surprised, they like the older version more, which is more hymnals and organs. And so there's people out there, young people out there, who like traditional ways. And you just have to find them and talk to them and influence them into like saying, listen, I believe what you in. Let me be your voice.
Yeah, and definitely.
It right now with young people, it's hard to get their votes because, one, they're not voting.
Definitely. There you go.
And two, they don't know what this is. You know?
Yeah, and when you talk about local politics, if it's not a mayor race, most young people don't really care. Especially when you go down to school board. Now we got mayor, we got city council, and then we go down to school board, they're already like, man, what do you guys do again?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, we are the ones that, you know, make schools better. We focus on the budget, we hire for our superintendent, you know, we focus on curriculum, we do things like that would, you know, make your life better as a student. They're like, oh, okay. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. So have you met the current superintendent for AISD?
Yeah, Cavazos, yeah.
What do you think about him?
I don't think he's a bad guy. You know, I don't think he's a bad guy at all. People are mad at his salary and his lifetime benefits that we're paying for out of our tax dollars. But besides that, I don't think he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
I don't vote anything against him.
So I want to ask you a question. For me, for education, I am hugely against STAR testing. What is your stance on STAR testing? Should we have it? Should we not have it?
I stand with you, brother.
Yes, sir. That's what I like to hear.
I believe that the whole standardized testing system is crippling our kids, because now teachers are having to teach around testing. And I didn't test well as a young guy, but I could retain information pretty good. You know, and if you ask me, I can tell you, but you put me in front of a test, you know, and so.
Because it's so stressful. Like you're smart that you know this stuff, like physics, for example. You know how to do all the math, you know how to do all the measurements and everything. And then you get this piece of paper that says, okay, take this. And if you take this, you can either fail or succeed and move on to the next grade. I'm sitting like, well, now I'm stressed.
God. Yeah, this is going to stop me from moving to the next grade.
And what sucks is those tests are hard. I've taken them. Everybody's taken them. What sucks is people with disabilities have to take the same test. And they have learning disabilities. They can't do it.
Yeah.
It's so unfair. So if you got in, would you try to influence the abolishment of the STAR test?
Yeah, I'm heavily vocal about it too. And so many people are as well. I mean, so many people feel this sentiment about this STAR test. Is that my biggest issue with the STAR test is that it takes teachers away from actually being able to have the freedom to teach kids, because they're teaching the test. And I think because if you're a student that's hungry to learn, and then you're a teacher that's having to box in what you would normally teach to test, teach them for testing, then that kid's going to miss a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to miss a whole lot. What? How old are you?
I'm 21.
Oh, wow. You're young.
I'm young, dude.
I'll be 40 in May.
Oh, my God. No, you're not.
Yeah, man. I'll be 40.
No way.
I know, right?
I don't believe it. Yeah, I don't believe it.
40, man. Yeah.
I thought you were like mid 30s. I'd say 33 to 35.
Yeah, that's what everybody thinks. But, you know, that's probably fit.
Good for you.
Thank you, man. Thank you, brother. Thank
That's all the working out that you do.
There you go. That's what it is, man. Steak and fish, you know? Chicken. But yeah, so we took the TOS test. That's what our test Dude. Was to get out. The TOS test.
TOS
and
test.
So, you know, that wasn't, it was hard, but it was like people could pass the TOS test. And we didn't, our teaching wasn't centered around the TOS test. They taught. And so the TOS test was just, that was your exit. But, you know, the focus on it wasn't the same. So I see what happens now in the public education and the focus on this STAR test. I'm like, man, this is bad. This is very, very bad.
And it's stupid because I'm not a good test taker at all. I'm the worst at it. I'm more good at presentations. Like, I can present a great speech. I'm not scared of crowds. I can go out there and go, "What's up?" and just amp up the crowd and make it.
Probably need to be a politician, dude. It's probably in you.
Everybody's been telling me to do that. So, hey, Chapel 24.
Good ball.
I could do a presentation. I can write. I can do all this stuff. But when you give me a test, I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh. And I've failed STAR tests before. I've had to take the English one, or the reading one, they call it, 2 times. And they're like, you gotta retake this. And I'm like, this is so stupid.
But you were good on math.
I was good at math. I was good at the simple math, like times and adding and all divide. Like, oh, that's my stuff. But once you add in letters, I'm like, what?
You're like, oh my God. See, I was always opposite. I was good and everything, but bad. And I'm like, man, this dude kicked my butt, you know? So I was late learning on it, but of course I passed eventually. But yeah, I mean, I just think that the whole standardized testing system needs to be revamped immediately, because it's crippling our kids. And you got to think, man, like, look where we are in public education right now. Look at the, where the rating is on reading across the board.
Look at the success rate of public education too. A lot more people are dropping out or getting GEDs. And, like, trust me, I respect people who get GEDs. My mom had got a GED, and that's a hard test. She took it, I think, three or two times. Yeah. I respect people who do that. But you're more likely to get a better job with a diploma and then a bachelor, or like a bachelor's and all that, than you are with a GED and an associate's type thing. And so we got to look at the success rate of these schools and say, what's the problem here? We gotta find the common issue, which is either how the schools are being run, which is the teachers and how they're teaching, standardized testing. You also gotta look at how students are treating other students. My big thing is right now is we have a lot of violence in schools. I mean, I just got out of high school. I've witnessed drug deals, So what is your plan to help students be safer in schools?
Well, it's crazy because I've been campaigning heavily on this topic, and I get a lot of backlash for it because I speak out. And our schools are very violent.
Yes.
Very violent. A lot of our schools are, I want to call it a whole bunch of schools, but, you know, looking at this, you know, the Crime Watch stuff, like Lamar's on there every week, something's happening over there. Like, you know, I mean, it's back to back to back.
We had Timberview just a couple months ago.
Yeah. That's horrible. Like, and so people are asking me, well, what are you going to do? Because I'm like, we need to stop this violence. And so, like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm not doing anything new. I'm only going to enforce the rules that are already in place. Like, because we already have rules in place. And if the rules were being enforced, we would not have these problems. Because you got to think where education was 10, 15, and 20 years ago. Do you think a student would have threatened a teacher?
No.
Not at all.
Respect. Like, I remember wanting to be one of my things I really wanted to do was be a history teacher. I love history. I wanted to be a history teacher. Yeah, and talking to my parents, they're like, I would never be a teacher now. Kids are ruthless. And I go, that's the problem. There's no respect. Like, teachers don't make that much as it is, but they're taking time out of their time, out of their day, out of their year, pretty much, to teach your kid how to be successful in the future. And it's just awful how we treat teachers. So would you be – I want to ask you this question. Would you be for paying teachers more or keeping it the same?
I'm definitely open to paying teachers more. And, I mean, they already had that on the board anyways. Not on, of course, the board, but I'm just saying it was already in the works. It just needs to happen. And I think they were fighting for a 4% raise, and I heard some teachers got it and others didn't. But yeah, that's definitely got to happen. Like, teachers definitely need to be paid more. you know, they are dealing with a lot, man. They are dealing with a lot. But the basic thing is just to hold those students accountable that yes. Are the problem. That's the main thing. You are not going to be a problem and be a constant problem in our schools.
Yes.
If I'm elected and the students is a problem in that school, he has to be or she has to be dealt with immediately, because we don't need this to continue on. We don't need our students to think they can get away with it either. If you commit a crime as an adult, you're going to be held responsible.
Yes.
That's just how our system is created. So it's no different as a kid. When you were a child and you disrespected one of your parents, you got your butt whooped.
Yeah.
Or you got put on punishment. And that's the same thing that has to happen in our schools. And so, you know, teachers are already dealing with coming back from COVID, having to teach. Now we got the social emotional learning with counselors now. You had all this stuff together. And then you bring into the violence in school. And it's like, man, I could not imagine having to deal with some of the stuff that our teachers are dealing with, man. It's sad to see. It's very sad to see. So yeah, I would definitely, and I'm fighting for, if I'm elected or not, I'm still in this fight for our teachers and for, I'm fighting for the students too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's because some of them aren't doing this stuff. But we do have some good kids in our schools.
Yes.
And they need, they need somebody to stand up and fight for them too, because we don't want them to be afraid to go to school.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want them to be afraid to speak up or say something, you know, it's just, it's a crazy time we're seeing. Just crazy.
I want to ask you, what is your plan for security? We've been having, you know, with violence happening, we've been having school shootings happen left and right pretty much. And what is your plan to end that if you were elected into the board? How would you fight to say, okay, we got to keep our kids safe as well? We're having too many incidents happen here, pretty much all around the world. So what are we going to do to stop that?
I think one of the things that I want to do is sit down with the police chief, Al Davis, and, you know, compose a plan with some of our leaders and parents. And I want to hear parents and teachers and the students.
Yes.
And, you know, sit around and throw some ideas out with everybody and then go sit back at the table with the board and try to put a plan together with him. Because, you know, I do have a lot of ideas that I can throw at it, but I think at the end of the day, they're just ideas. But unless I hear from everybody on what they think could happen to alleviate some of this stuff, you know, because I remember when we were in school, if you brought a gun to school, if you were fighting, if it was a certain kind of thing that happened that you did, you went to juvenile. I mean, immediately. I'm not trying to say these kids aren't going to juvenile now, but I'm saying we were afraid to go to juvenile.
Yes. And that's the thing juvenile, is kids, I was talking to a teacher of mine before I graduated. They're saying kids are not scared to get arrested, go to jail. They're not scared.
Yeah, at all. But you know what? If they're arrested and they go to jail or juvenile and they're allowed to come back to school, I wouldn't be afraid either. Would you?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to be arrested,
that was my punishment.
You'll be back the next week.
And then we have
and this... I can go home and relax and eat some Cheerios and then come back the next week.
And like, we have these stupid out of school suspensions, and like, that doesn't, let's just give the kid a vacation.
Exactly. The kid has to be kicked out. If he goes to juvenile, or she goes to juvenile, you cannot come back. That's it. Mm. You know, whatever you did was at that severe, then yeah, you're out. You know, and I just think that it has to be that has to be enforced.
You know,
and
my so, plan you know, is to stop having kids bring guns to school.
What's that?
Metal detectors.
Yeah, a lot of people threw those out. Of course, that's a fight. You know, some people are for, some people are against. I'm open. I'm open. I would like to
look at it. I'm like, why not? Have the kid walk through it. It's just like an airport. I mean, I have always said this. We treat education, it's part of our government. Education is part of government. We have government elections for education, but yet we don't treat schools like government buildings.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing that sentiment.
We have
and again. I'm not.
I've gone to the municipal courts. I've gone to all these different government buildings, and I had to go through a metal detector. I had to meet with security. Like, all right, take off your belt. Okay, put your stuff in the bucket. Go through it. Definitely. Why aren't we treating schools like government buildings? We treat. Education is such a hard topic to talk about, and it's
very hard. And it's only hard because when people believe that it's dealing with kids, they want to say, "Well, they're just kids," you know. And so
they're just kids until they start shooting each other or stabbing each other or buying drugs from each other. Yeah, they're just kids. They're just kids.
Exactly. So, I'm a father, so I mean, trust me, I get it. I love
and like
kids.
I love kids. Like, I'm not a father. I'm 21, so I've witnessed violence, but I have nephews who are young, and I'm terrified of them going into school. What's going to happen next? Because I'm seeing this awful things happen, like with Timberview that happened recently. You know,
that's scary,
kid,
man.
It was started because of bullying. And then he was like, oh, I'm going to bring this gun to protect myself. First off, how does the kid have access to the gun? Like, that's also a parent thing, too. And you just, you have to look at all these, what's the issue here? Like, what's the common factor that's causing these kids to shoot up schools? And it's just, we got to figure it out.
Yeah, honestly. Agreed.
Real quick, everybody, if you guys want to learn more about Kelly Burke and what he stands for, go to burkeforeducation.com. It's his website, and it has everything about him, why he's running, all of his positions, and his endorsements, everything. Go support him. He's a really good guy. Mr. Burke, I want to talk to you about something very important. I'm looking at your website here, and you click Why Kelly. It's a tab that you have. You scroll to the very bottom. You have one topic in bold letters, bring God into our schools.
Come on.
I am 100% on board with this. Yeah. I was in high school, and we had like clubs where, like, you know, Bible study and like all that. And
What high school?
Yeah, and like it's funny because I remember
did you go to?
I went to Martin.
Okay.
But I remember for the longest time in middle school, you'd get in trouble if you had a Bible on you.
Yeah, wow.
Because, like, you get in trouble for having a Bible on you, but you didn't get in trouble if you had a Quran or a Torah. Because we have to respect other people's religions, you know? I'm the type of guy, I'm the type of Christian that goes, I'll respect your, like, whatever you celebrate, as long as you respect what I celebrate.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
And it's just being nice to my brothers and sisters. And just like in God, like, yeah, you celebrate a different God, but yet you're still my brother. As long as you're not hurting people, as long as you're doing good. All right, cool. Yeah. Good for you. So how do you plan on bringing God back to schools?
My concept is this, right? Don't push religion on anybody. Cool, right? Okay, we got laws in place for education and, you know, how they deal with religion. Although, like you just said, they are teaching or allowing other religions to be expressed besides Christianity, as we have seen across the board. So my deal is this: allow churches to partner with schools, right? So that if all students don't want to hear a prayer or want to be involved or hear what a preacher has to say or be involved in this Bible study or whatever this little segment is that we're doing with churches, have those parents be able to opt these kids in and have where we can have preachers or youth ministers to be able to come on these campuses. And for those students that need it, okay, look, we have social emotional learning. We got SEL now, right? So through social emotional learning, if a kid is stressed out or having some emotional issues, well, they need some kind of therapy session. Teachers are playing that role of having to do that, right? Or they're bringing in people to do that. Well, then why can't we, through that same umbrella, have our pastors and youth leaders come in for those kids that want that? I'm just saying, even the playing field. That's all I'm trying to do is saying, let's have our people, Christian people, on staff, on deck, not on staff getting paid, but, you know, as an approved only list for people to come in and help these kids. Because there are a lot of Christian kids still in our schools, and we need to have representation across the board. If we're going to make it fair, it's got to be fair. And that's the only thing I'm posing is,
and it's
to open the door up for churches to be able to cope, you know, work hand in hand with these schools.
And like, for the talk kids about, that want. I remember going to my high school, and they were talking about diversity, and we got to be diverse. We got to respect other people, no matter race.
That's crazy, right?
Orientation. No, you're about to go. Go ahead. But yet, here we go. But yet, oh, if you're a Christian, oh, go over there type thing. Yeah. And it's so funny. It's just like, for me, seeing that, I'm like, you guys sit here and complain. Like, I remember we used to get in trouble for complaining about somebody who celebrated Islam, who was Muslim. I remember we used to complain about that. We used to complain about Jews. We used to complain about all these other religions. And then we're like, that's bad. You can't do that. Respect them. Okay. I'll respect them. But why don't you respect Christianity? Wow. It's one of the top three. Like,
there you go.
And it's like, you can't show love to two or three or four or five or whatever, but not show love to another one. That's like saying, okay, only show love to white, Hispanic, Asians, but not black.
Don't. Yeah, there you go.
It's the same thing.
You know what? That's what equality is supposed to be, you know? And I was just driving in my car the other day thinking about that word equality, because I think about the backlash that I get when I speak a lot of times. People on the left or people that don't think like us would say, right, with somebody with conservative views. And I thought to myself, I'm talking out loud. I'm driving, and this is how I come up with my speeches.
I've been there.
You know it, right?
I drive so out loud, like, what the heck?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I pull up to a red light, and I said this. Diversity and equality is only needed or acceptable when it sounds like this.
Yes.
But when it doesn't sound like this, then we don't want it.
Yeah.
So we're going to be equal across the board, and we need equal representation for everybody, unless you believe this way. Because if you believe that way, which is a way that we don't believe, then we don't want you. Mm-hmm. Because you're not trying to be equal. You're trying to take over what we're doing, and we're not. We don't want to take it over. We just want to be present in the conversation. If there's a conversation about religion, Christians need to be there. If there's a conversation about morals, Christians need to be there.
If there's a conversation about race, all races need to be there. All gender have to be there.
The board. There you go. Yes. It has to be like that. And that's the only thing I'm fighting for. And I keep telling people, I'm not trying to take anything over. No. I'm not trying to make God be president over anything you have going. I'm just saying God needs to be present. And the faith-based leaders need to be present when it comes to our students in our schools and when it comes to local government. That's what we need. Now they do they took out the prayer in school board meetings, and they do a moment of silence.
But yet, a moment of silence is supposed to be time for prayer, fun fact.
Yeah, so they moved that time, and then we moved this in because of what people want. But I'm like, just make it. Whatever you guys doing, just make it even.
Yeah, just make it. You're not going to like – everybody's not going to like you. No one's going to be pleased by you. But it's what you think is good that matters and what helps students. But, yeah. Kelly, listen. If they want to learn more about you, where they go? BurkeForEducation.com?
BurkeForEducation.com. Check out my Facebook, too.
Yes, sir.
Kelly R. Burke on Facebook. But, yeah, that's it, man. I'm easy to find.
All right, Mr. Burke. Today's podcast is sponsored by Poddex. Have you heard of Poddex, by the way?
I haven't, no.
Oh, my gosh. How have you not heard of Poddex?
I've been on the verge of starting my podcast. I'm going to do it probably after this election. Either way. But yeah, I haven't.
If you need help, I got you.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. Yeah,
I got you. Poddex are these cool deck of cards that allow you to help you ask questions and interviews and come up with ideas for your podcast. The one that we're going to be using today is the What the Heck deck. It's a bunch of random questions in there, so I have no idea what's in here.
So I get to say what the heck on a question.
Yeah, that's the answer. It's like, what the heck? Right. But we have the interview deck, which is what I've been using for a very long time. You can see the wear and tear on there. It helps me out a lot. I think I have another one. Yes, I do. The Would You Rather deck. Would you rather questions? Like, would you rather run for mayor or run for AISD board? But like, it's one of those type fun things. But today's What the Heck. Now, if you want to check these out and get your money back, go to poddex.com. Go get what you want. Go to the promo code, that little promo code right there, and type in TCLIVE to get 10% off your first purchase. Again, TCLIVE. That's TC Live. To get 10% off your first purchase. Kelly, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. This is going to be fun. All right. I've just pulled random cards out, so I have no idea what they are. They could be absurd. They can be cool. I mean, all of them are cool, man. It's
okay.
It's pod decks. All right. Definitely. What would be the absolute worst name you can give your child?
Worst name? Lucifer.
That's a good, yeah. You know, what's funny is like, that's such a, it's a very bad name, but like, if it wasn't like for the person who had his name.
Yeah, then you're like, this is not even a bad name.
It's kind of a cool name. Like,
it's the devil's name, right?
And then like, have you seen the show Lucifer? Like the.
I know about the show, but I didn't watch it.
His name, you know what his full name is?
What?
Lucifer Morningstar.
Oh, wow. That's the scripture to say, you know.
The Morning Star.
That's him.
Oh, here we go. Back in high school, what was the strangest thing someone could find in your locker?
Oh, wow. What's the strangest thing?
Strange thing, man.
I didn't even use my locker in high school.
Me either.
Besides football, like, what was in there? Probably food.
Food, yeah. Same here. Between classes, I'd just go there like... Oh, I gotta eat real quick and then leave. What Guinness World Record do you think you could break in the future?
Oh my God. That's a hard question.
That is a hard one.
Oh my god. What?
The strongest candidate.
Yeah, there you go. What a guy that can talk.
You know what? How about this? How about this? This is how we're gonna settle this right now, Mr. Burke. You're gonna get you and your opponent, and we're just gonna arm wrestle, and whoever wins gets the position.
Well, I'm beating him. I'm beating him.
There we go. It's that simple. There you go.
I know, right? If it came down to that, right?
Yeah. It's like match. If it comes
out for this position.
If it comes up to a run on a runoff, and it's just still keep coming 50-50, just go, all right, I got an idea. My good friend Trent told me this, and let's just do it.
It's funny though, we don't have a runoff. It's a plurality in this race, so it's whoever gets the most votes.
Oh, wow, really?
It's even better for me because I don't want to go to a runoff. We've been campaigning against each other. It's just me and him, so who wants to go to a runoff?
I forgot that. It's just you two.
Yeah, just us, man.
Yeah, you got this. Yeah. I believe in you. You got this.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it.
Do you have a favorite t-shirt? If so, what is on it?
Yeah, I do have a favorite t-shirt, but I don't wear it too much anymore.
Wow.
But, yeah, no,
come on, man. Come on.
You got so many t-shirts.
Yeah.
I have a t-shirt line too, clothing line. So that's why I'm saying I have some.
I better get some shirts here sent to me.
Oh yeah, I got you. You are in Arlington.
I'm an Arlington still. Man.
Yeah. You come by the gym and pick up.
I'll come by the gym and we'll do a video of me working out with you and see how that goes.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I love that. Yeah, but I got a store in here for you to pick out what you want.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, but I had a t-shirt I made some years ago that just said God is able. And it was just like one of my favorite shirts. But it's like now because it's old. It's like one of those original shirts that I made and it's a keepsake. So yeah. I don't really wear it. It's just there, you know.
I think my favorite shirt is the one I'm wearing right now, which is the Chapel Media t-shirt. Hey, it's called Chapel Media in 4K. It has like the record button thing right there and like the frame. But this was the original logo and it's history and it means a lot to me. And it's in purple. That's like no one really owns purple shirts.
So,
all right. Yeah, I do because I'm awesome. Which body part do you wish you could detach and why? Yeah.
Detach.
I just take it off.
Man. Probably my ears, so I could stop hearing some of this crap that I have to hear with the media.
I would say that's a good one. I would say, honestly, I would say my arm. I just take it off, and that way I have like a thing I can hit people with.
Or when they say something that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, or I could start off my head and still survive.
There you go.
And just like, oh, because you know when you go bowling and like your ball doesn't come back, and you're like, you have to sit there and that's that awkward wait. Just
throw the head down there.
Yeah, there you go. All right, this is a controversial question. There's a right and there's a wrong answer to this, and you got to be careful what you're going to say, okay?
Okay.
Toilet paper, over or under?
Under.
So like that? So it's against the wall?
Yeah, it's by the wall.
So like here's the wall, and the paper goes like this?
Yeah, it's got to be by the wall.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong? No, it's I'm over. OCD.
No, it doesn't look over. Doesn't look good. You know why?
Why?
Because if somebody, for example, at my business, if somebody does it over, because they do this up front and I change it back, when it hangs down, it just looks unprofessional. But when it hangs back closer to the wall, it looks like it's out of the way, like it looks more clean. And when you tear it off, it just falls perfect.
Want to hear a fun fact?
Yeah.
The patent for the toilet paper roll itself.
Yeah,
in the picture, it's over. So you're doing it wrong.
Because I don't want to be like them. You know, you got to be a rebel.
All right. If peanut butter wasn't called peanut butter, what would it be called?
A gooey mess.
There you go.
Gooey butter.
I would call jelly that. Jelly, it's sticky.
Yeah, well, I mean, it does go with jelly. So yeah. You can get away with
that. You can call it gooey mess one and two.
Yeah.
All right. What slogan or jingle got stuck in your head forever?
Big loaders. Big loader construction set.
That's okay.
It was a toy when I was a kid. And they had a commercial. The big loader construction
set.
You, I'm older than you, so you probably
I probably know don't it. Know I was, it. But I
was in elementary school, middle school, but that was the commercial. And they had a little fake, like, cartoonish guy on there. And he's, like, moving around. He's a construction worker. And it's funny, I just was at the gym one day, walking through the gym, and I started singing that jingle. And I got a guy, one of my, the guy was my manager at the gym, runs the gym. He's 25. And he busted out laughing. I said, do you know that? He said, yeah, I do know that jingle. I said, how do you know? You're too young. He said, no, you know, I had an older brother. So I remember because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, he was like, so funny that you sung that song though.
You know, one stuck in my head forever and it will probably never leave.
What?
Right, get ready. You can sing it with me if you want. Oh, O'Reilly's.
Oh, O'Reilly's. Yeah.
Yep. That one.
Auto parts.
Auto parts. Ow!
That and my second one would be love and marriage. Love and marriage goes together like a horse and carriage.
That's, I've never heard that one.
That's Al Bundy's. That's the Bundy's.
Oh my gosh.
That's the Bundy's, man.
Wow.
That was a show.
I'm trying to think of any other one. Like, is there another one? I mean, the Turn Chapel theme song is always, Turn Chapel Live theme song is always going to be stuck in my head.
Yeah,
because that's my theme song. But exactly. Yeah, no, O'Reilly's is always stuck in there.
O'Reilly's is a big one.
That's a big
that
one.
That means they did right with their marketing.
All
right,
this is a good question. And this will show the human side of you.
Okay.
Have you ever been arrested? If so, why?
Yeah, it's funny because I just had to do a video about my convictions because people were asked to me some recently, what happened? Why do you have this? You know, we looked at your record. What's going on? Mm. And so, yeah, I have a Class C misdemeanor under an ounce of marijuana.
Okay.
When I was really young, got pulled over on division. And she found under an ounce. And I've got a trademark counterfeit on my record as well. That's for selling Rangers t-shirts. It didn't say Texas Rangers, but it says Rangers. And so those are on my record. Those are,
by the way, I had no idea that you had to do that. I'm being serious. Yeah. That is a question on the card.
Yeah, it's funny. I just put the video out. I mean, I just
that's
just
so interesting.
Last week, yeah, I just put it on my Facebook page. I got a link to my YouTube, but yeah, go watch the video.
I'll go watch the video.
It's called Kelly Bird coming clean about who I am or something.
Coming clean. All right. You get to pick left, right, or middle?
Middle.
Middle. All right. What set of items could you buy that would make the cashier the most uncomfortable? Oh, yeah.
What could I buy?
Yeah, what could you buy that make the cashier uncomfortable?
A Trump hat.
Okay, yeah.
Like, can somebody come rain this guy out?
Mine would be like, I had to do this the other day. I went to I'm 21, so I drink, like, you know, responsibly. But yeah. I had to go to a liquor store with my friend, and I still get awkward buying liquor. I still look like I'm about to break the law. I'm like, here you go. Like, I see your ID, and I go, here you go. And they're like, you're good. You calm down. I'm like, okay, right. Cool. For that, I always get. It's not the cashier that gets uncomfortable. It's me that gets uncomfortable.
Gotcha. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, yeah. Trust me. All
right, left or right?
Let's go right.
Right. This one. Yeah. What would be the creepiest thing you could say while passing a stranger on the street? You just walk by. Like, if me and you never met, you walk by me, and you just went whisper, and then walked away. What would that whisper be?
Man, I've been holding this thing in for 30 minutes.
That's the good one. I bet you he'd be like, what?
Like, what?
I think mine would be like, just like, subscribe to me and just walk away. And they're like, what?
Like, what?
What? Okay. All right.
Okay. What's your channel?
What's your channel? Oh, here you go. One of my old jobs, I don't work there anymore. I won't say where, though. I was talking to a customer, and this was when I started, like, doing what I do now. And I was, like, not really taking it seriously, but I really wanted to grow. I had a customer come in, and he's like, hey, man, how you doing? I was like, oh, I'm good. He goes, he's like, we're just talking. And I was like, oh, yeah, I do YouTube stuff and everything. And he's like, oh, really, which channel? And he gets his phone out, and I go to take the phone, and I type in my thing. For me, I'm used to getting my friends' phones and typing it in for them. He was going to type it himself. I just took his phone.
Took the phone.
And I just started typing.
That's pretty weird.
He was like,
he's just looking at you like,
did you just take my phone? And I just, and like, I didn't have him subscribe the button. I didn't press the button. He didn't press it. I was like, there you go. And I just pressed it for him. He's like, oh, okay.
So, don't do that again, okay?
Okay. I was like, yes, sir. All right. This is a good question.
Okay.
How many chickens can you take? How many chickens would it take to kill an elephant? This is a very important question.
Oh my God, I don't know.
They're going to ask you this at the debate.
I don't know how to answer this question. I don't know. One.
One. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think a good 20.
Does it have an answer?
No. It's open. And then my last question I want to ask you, it's not from the pod decks, it's just me that I ask, and it's usually my last question I ask my guest. To you, what is success?
Waking up every day doing what you love, first half. Second half for me was not only waking up every day doing what I love, but being able to lay down in my bed at night and be getting paid and I'm not there doing the work.
Heck yeah. That's such a good answer. Ladies and gentlemen, Kelly R. Burke. What does the R stand for?
Rashad.
Rashad. That's a cool name.
Yeah. Thank you.
Kelly Rashad Burke.
Not to be confused with R. Kelly.
Yep. No.
Kelly R.
Well, Mr. Burke, thank you so much for coming on my show today. Taking time out of your day to do this. I know you're a very busy man, and it means a lot to me that I got to talk to you about what I believe in the field of education and express how I feel about things. And it's very awesome that you get to sit down with me and I got to tell you that stuff. Where can they find you? Where can they hear about you and everything?
Yeah, the website is burkeforeducation.com. The YouTube channel is Kelly Burks USA. I'm actually an ex-YouTuber too, man. I started on fitness YouTube. So I still have a fitness YouTube. That fitness YouTube is KRB Fitness. If you watch some of my old fitness videos, I've got hundreds on there. I've got 21,000 subscribers, but I don't post on there anymore. But that was kind of my claim to fame. And then Facebook is just Kelly R. Burke 315.
Awesome.
Yeah. But man, you know, I definitely enjoyed it. And I really appreciate the opportunity. And if I'm elected, man, we need to start working on grooming you so you can take my spot when I'm done.
Oh, I got you, man. I'm going to come to your gym and we're going to work out together. We'll make a video together.
I'll do a video of that. Yeah, that'd be good.
With me just like trying to be a bodybuilder for a day. I'm like, all right, here we go, guys. And it's like, I would get like the bar and I'm like, there's no weight on it. It's just the bar. And I'm already struggling.
Yeah, come do it.
I'll go do it. Thank you, good man. Thank you, seriously. And guys, next week we have a guest. I can't announce who it is yet, but subscribe to the newsletter. It's chapelmedia.com/subscribe. That's where you can subscribe to the newsletter and get updates on videos that we're making, podcasts, guests that we're going to be having, and all that fun stuff. But again, thank you, Mr. Burke. Again, burkeforeducation.com. Check him out and learn more about him. And when does voting start?
Early voting starts April 25th through May 4th, and then election day is May the 7th.
Awesome. Go out and vote.
Yeah. Get out there, people. Vote. Get involved. School board matters. City council matters. So go vote.
It does. All right, guys. We're out of here. And stay safe, everybody. You too, Mr. Burke. And we're out.
Peace. Thank you, brother.